Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
The NFL, NHL, Major League Baseball, NBA, and NCAA. Your home for live sports is AM 950 and 95.7 FM. The sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
You're back in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. We appreciate you joining us at AM 950, 95.7 FM, and ESPN Rochester on the radio.com app. And always excited to welcome in Rochester sports icon, 13-WHAM sports director Mike Catalana into the sports bar. Hey, Mike, how are you?
Good, fellas. How's it going?
Mike, you must really love Rochester, because I would think you're down there covering the Super Bowl with Jenna, and you'd be like, wow, this weather's great, this town's great. What would it be like to be down here in Miami?
It was probably one of the most enjoyable Super Bowl trips I've had, because the weather was outstanding. It wasn't the Bills in the game. Obviously, I've been to four Super Bowls with the Bills in the game, so our week was very different. So, I did my normal stuff. I talked to Shakira and J-Lo, talked a little NFL, that type of week, in 75-degree weather to 75-plus. So, yeah, it really was not bad. I will say this, fun city to be in. I was glad I was on the company dime, because that is an expensive place to be for a week, I will tell you that.
Mike, just one closing thought on the Super Bowl. I mean, when you talk about the Chiefs doing what they've done now, winning this Super Bowl, Mahomes doing what Mahomes does, and the Chiefs doing very similarly to what New England did when they started their dynasty, dominating in their division, do you see this as a potential dynasty in the making here in Kansas City?
Here's what they have. They have the quarterback, and they've got the coach, right, that could do it. It'll be really interesting to see how it all unfolds together. I mean, when you see what the AFC East did, where they laid down for 20 years for the Patriots, I mean, I don't know if you'll get that in the AFC West for a long period of time. I don't know if you'll get that many times going forward where it'll just be that bad. I mean, you do have the Chargers moving into the new stadium. You have the Raiders moving into the new stadium in the new city. You don't know what their circumstances are going to be like. And, Denver's still trying to figure it out. So on the surface, it looks that way. Here's the one thing I would say. As good as the Chiefs were, and I felt the same way about the Niners, they were a fifth loss away from being a third seed and having to go on the road twice. The Niners were, 6 inches away from being a fifth seed and then having to go on the road twice? And this was when both of these teams had really good regular seasons. You look at Baltimore winning 14 games and then getting knocked off once in the playoffs. So I think when we define dynasty as having the coach and the quarterback to be in that talk every year is one thing. To win it 6 times and be in, 9 of them like the Patriots, I think that's hard to duplicate. But with Mahomes and Reed, they have every right to be there. Now, so the Green Bay Packers do that, right? And they won early with Rodgers. And then, they've been good. They're in contention every year. Everybody always says, if you got Aaron Rodgers, you can win, and you can. But they haven't gone back, right? So you can predict it, but we need to see more than one to start talking about dynasty.
Mike Catalana, 13-WHAM, joining us. There's been in the last 48 hours, or dating back to the Friday, Mike, this idea that the Dallas Cowboys could be in on the market of Tom Brady. Is this the definition of a manufactured story, Mike?
I don't think Brady leaving is a manufactured story. I think that's obviously, for the first time in a long, long time, if ever, it's a real possibility. I don't see it necessarily as Dallas. I think Dallas is going to figure out a way one way or the other. They're going to keep Dak. I mean, it's just sort of the Cowboys' way. And think about it. I mean, look, Dak Prescott has his issues. But you're talking about letting a quarterback go who is, what is Dak? Maybe, what is he, 26, 25, 26, whatever he is. And he's a good player. Could you argue that he's a better quarterback now than Tom Brady? I mean, you know, maybe with these weapons, Brady would be a lot better. Brady is 43. So, you know, I don't know if Jerry, who's desperate to get that, thinks I can sign Brady, I can keep Amari Cooper, I keep Zeke, and I make a play there. But I don't see it happening. But then again, once he's, if he decides, if Brady says, I want to go, I want to go. I'm not appreciated in Foxborough. I want to go. I would think it would certainly be at least an option for them. But he is going to be 43 years old next year. So, you know, is a team going to say that? A team like the Chargers, they don't have a quarterback.
Yeah.
A team like the Raiders, who can move on from Carr, you make an argument on who you think is better, Prescott or Carr. But with a guy like, you know, with a guy like Gruden out there, I mean, I think those are real possibilities too. So manufactured, yeah, probably a little bit because, it, you know, it's Brady and the Cowboys, but I don't think it's a guarantee that Brady's back with the Patriots.
Mike, I was actually going to lead you right into that question about Tom Brady with the Chargers, with the news today of the Chargers and Philip Rivers parting ways. Do you think the Chargers already have a deal in place with Tom Brady? I mean, let's face it, Tyrod isn't the solution. The window is open now for the Chargers. They have talent. It's a compelling landing spot, not just because they're moving into a new stadium. They're fighting for relevance, but your wife is a supermodel. But let's face it, teams in the NFL tamper all the time.
Yeah, you got to be really careful on this one because, I mean, there'll be talk. Like, I'm going to the Combine in a couple weeks, and all the agents are there, all the GMs are there, and there is talk, and it absolutely goes on. But I got a feeling that you got to be really, really careful if you want to talk to Tom Brady before, you know, before he's available, because I don't think that would go over too well, certainly in Foxborough, if they believe they still have a chance to sign him. But look, Brady's not stupid. You know, he knows that the Chargers have an opening at quarterback. He knows where they're going to be playing. And if you're the Chargers, the irrelevant second-place team going into that new stadium, but it's L.A., you have some weapons. You have some talent on that team. And for Brady, you know, I mean, we were just talking about it in the sports office. Dan Fates and Jenna and I were just talking. I'm like, look around at the history of the league with these quarterbacks. I mean, Peyton Manning went to another team, and Joe Montana went to another team. Brett Favre went to another team, and Troy Aikman said he was really close to going to another team. He was going to come out of retirement, and Kurt Warner was on two teams. I mean, you know, it's more of the rarity that a guy stayed with one team his whole career. So could it happen? At 43, it would be still surprising, but Brady's a little different breed of cat that way. I think there's still something in him that wants to be appreciated more, and look, I told you, I got some friends up there in that area, been around the team, and they think Brady's got people in his ear telling him, time for you to go. Now, how much he listens to that, what it'll actually do, I guess we're all going to have to wait to see.
See, there's one thing that holds me back from buying in on the Chargers, being in all on Brady, or Brady going to the Chargers. It's the fact that you're in a division with Patrick Mahomes. I mean, if this really is about winning and finding a, you know, a nice spot for your family and whatnot, would there not be better spots than you have to worry about? You know, you're no chance, no guarantee, Mike, that you would win that division with Mahomes in the way.
No guarantee. But I guess I'm just not that big on like assuming now that Kansas City is his dynasty. Look, they were down 24 in one playoff game. They were down 10 in another game. They were getting handled, certainly defensively, in the Super Bowl. And I love Mahomes. I think Mahomes is great. But, you know, they were no lock in any of this. And that was the first year going through it. I'm not saying that the Chargers all of a sudden go right up there and they can go knock off Kansas City. But they did look vulnerable at times. Now, we'll see where they are next year going forward. But, yes, you got another decade of Mahomes. And they're going to start paying him pretty soon a lot. What's he going to get? $40 million. So that could change the dynamic in Kansas City too. But yeah, I see your point there. It's like whether it's Chargers or the Raiders, you're in a division with Mahomes. You go to the Cowboys. Look, the NFC East was terrible last year, but you know, don't know what the Eagles are going to do. The Giants changed coaches. Redskins changed coaches. That division, we've seen it. These divisions can rise up and fall pretty quickly. So Yes, but certainly that would be an easier division. And the AFC East, we know what it's been, but, you know, over the next few years, maybe the AFC East moves up too. But, yes, they don't have Kansas City in it, so I don't think Brady would be afraid of that. And I also think, in part, he'd be going to L.A. a little bit for the brand, a little bit for the TB12, a little bit for the Hollywood, and I think he does like that.
13 WHAM Sports Director Mike Catalano, our guest in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia on ESPN Rochester. Mike, we wanted to make sure when we had you on today that we kind of unwrap this mess that has become the Buffalo Sabres in 2019 and 2020. We know there are no easy answers. Where are you at with the state of this franchise? What do you think the best course of action should be for the rest of this season and beyond when you think about the future of GM Jason Bottrell?
Yeah, I think Bottrell is the guy that... I think they're going to probably give him another year to do this. I don't think they're going to pull the plug on Bottrell. And I look at Ralph Kruger. I like Ralph Kruger. I'm not putting this on him. You know, I said the same thing when, like, Sean McDermott came in with the Bills, and I'm thinking to myself, he's got to own the 17 years of futility, but he didn't have anything to do with it. And he's got to try to figure out a way to help dig out of it and build the culture. And we sort of all chuckle a little bit at the culture. But look what the Bills have done. And I think Ralph Kruger, personality-wise, seems like he's the kind of guy that can do that. But it's an odd thing. I do not have the connection in Buffalo with the Sabres that I do with the Bills. I don't get the same sense of what the room is like. Hockey is a very different sport than it is for football. But I know what the Bills have built there. I know how much those players enjoy being there. And I don't think it's the same thing with the Sabres. And so you look at it and you go, what do you have? You've got Eichel. You've got Dahlin. You've got some other pieces like Skinner, Olofsson. You know, look, this team also couldn't afford to have any injuries because they were not deep at all. And those injuries alone didn't help. But I'm not pinning it on injuries. It's been a mess. But do you pull the plug now? Do you pull the plug now on Jason Bottrell at the end of the year and say, we're going to start over again? Now you get a GM who's not matched with his coach again. Now you're doing it that way. I think what you need to do is convince Jack Eichel to not pull the plug, not come to management and say, I want out. Because then when you go down that road again, then you are starting over again. So you have one of the top players in the game. You have a really talented defenseman. Your goaltending has been subpar. And I like Jonas Johansson, but he's not ready to play full-time in the NHL. You've got to improve that position greatly in the offseason. The rest of this year, you got to play. You got to see who's going to give you effort, not like it was the other night. And then you got to start parsing this roster and getting rid of the guys who don't want to be there.
Well, the trade deadline coming up 2 weeks from today, and I think it's obvious that the Sabres should sell now. There's no hope here. But, Mike, are they going to have an eye on Rochester here? Because, sure, they could sell parts for draft picks, and then, well, who's going to fill this roster spot? Oh, welcome back up, Casey Mittelstadt. Do you get the sense that at least the Amerks, they'll keep this team intact? Because I want to see what Chris Taylor can do here in year three.
Oh, yeah, I want to see that too. But I'm going to guess if they do make those moves, a guy like Mittelstadt would get a chance. But honestly, I mean, when you look at that Sabres roster, who are you dealing? Who's going to get you something? Who's going to make it? I mean, a guy like Ristolainen obviously is a guy they've had out there for a while. But, like, are you making that many moves at the deadline? And how much would that impact who you bring up? I think Mittelstadt needs to get his confidence back. I think he's shown flashes, certainly, for the Amherst. And I think at some point he's going to get another shot in Buffalo. But you could also set it up that these guys come back for the playoffs. They did it last year. And they brought guys back. And the disappointment was the Amherst still didn't do anything in the postseason. So, yeah, I'm with you on Chris Taylor. He's already sort of rescued this team once from a bad tailspin. Now they've lost a couple. But I don't think they're going to strip down the Amherst team. I think they'll still be really good. The question is, goaltending-wise, are they going to be good enough, you know, once we get into the postseason or to the stretch run for the Amherst to make a run? But the Sabres, they're sort of biding their time now. Again, you want to see effort from players. I mean, obviously, you know, down 3-0 the other night and to come back and get the pair of goals and to play so much better like they did. I mean, I know we've set the bar pretty low, but at least you want to see that out of this team for the last, stretch part of the season.
He is 13 Web Sports Director Mike Hetlon, our guest in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Mike, you mentioned earlier that you're going to be at the Combine in Indianapolis here in a couple of weeks. I'm sure we're going to book a time to get you on that week, because we're always fascinated by everything that happens around the NFL Combine. I'm curious as to whether or not you've taken in any mock drafts, if you have any idea of what direction you think the Bills might be leaning. I know the fan perspective is probably like, hey, if you don't get a wide receiver, what are you doing? But we also know that Sean McDermott, you know, covets his defense and maybe a pass rusher that could potentially be there, or another corner at 22. Which direction do you think the Bills are going to lean here come April?
Well, I think they're definitely going to look for pass catchers. They're going to look for somebody to go get the ball. Now, does that mean you have to make that move in the first round? And I'd say the answer to that is no, especially picking in the 20s. And I don't think the Bills will be looking to make a big move up, but they could move up a few spots if there's somebody they really target and they really like, and they make that type of move. The difference between now and in the last 2 years, really, especially last year in the draft, you know, we used to joke and say, well, the good news for the Bills is they could pick best player available because they need somebody at just about every spot. And that was true. But now you look at the roster and you say, okay, you know, they're not picking, let's just say that it's position of need, right? Well, the difference between going for a wide receiver when you have Cole Beasley and John Brown is you're looking for that exceptional player to help put you over the top, right? That's the one place you're going to go from being very good to maybe great at that position. I mean, the year before, Kelvin Benjamin was on the field, right? So, I mean, you have improved your roster. The offensive line might very well have the same five starters back next year if they sign Quentin Spain, but you always need depth. I think the positions, and you said it, the positions they need are pass catchers and pass rushers. That's what they need. And that second corner position, absolutely. If their right guy is there, I'm telling fans now, at 22, you're going to see 8 pass catchers that you like, that you all have for your guy, T. Higgins, whoever falls to that spot. But if Sean McDermott and Brandon Bean see a corner or a pass rusher in that spot, they might very well make that pick and go get the pass catcher in the second round. And that may be a disappointment to some people, but I think they're going to look at that and say, this is an extremely deep draft in wide receivers, and they might feel like they can get the same quality in the second round, or maybe even move up in the second round to get somebody. But you look at this draft, you don't see a lot of exceptional pass rushers. So if there's one there, don't be surprised if they don't go get it. And you talk about chasing a team like Kansas City. I think San Francisco showed you want to minimize Mahomes at least as much as you can. You better get to him in the backfield. You better put pressure on him, because otherwise he's going to kill you.
Mike, before we let you go, I wanted to get your take on the whole stadium issue, because the last time we spoke to you was the first day you were down in Miami, and then Vic Carucci asks Roger Goodell a question, and then that sparks everything to the point where the county gets their letter from the Bills that the Bills are not opting out. What is the next move here? Where do you see this story going next?
I would say this. I don't think it's a league-wide story. I said to you guys before that it's because, you know, Vic was there from, and it always is a local version of that story. But the Bills are really, I just mentioned how the Raiders and the Chargers moving into new places. The Bills stadium is now towards the bottom in the league, and you know, who doesn't love going to New Era Field? But I'm talking about comparing it to these other places. They're going to upgrade one way or the other. So it's coming. But this is not like it was a few years ago. And I think the Bills made a smart initial move, just getting that letter out saying, we're not opting out. They're not in a position to do that now. They're kicking the can down the road a little bit. The commissioner is always going to push for a team to get a new stadium. This is just what this league does. And I think the next step will be them continuing to look at their options and then waiting to see how the political winds blow going forward. You know, we can all pretend in this perfect world the Pegulas just write a big old check and build their own stadium.
No.
Not going to happen that way. You're going to pay for it and I'm going to pay for it. And you can complain. This is the way the world works in the NFL. Is it right? You're going to hear everybody say there's so many more important things that people can spend their money on. Why give to a billionaire? Look around the NFL. This is what ends up happening. So at some point, that's going to happen. I don't see the pressure even from the league. I don't think if Vic would have asked, wouldn't have asked that question if it would have ever even come up with the commissioner. But maybe by next year or the year after that, it becomes more of a hot button issue as we get to the end of that lease. But by that time, I think the Bills will have already announced what their plans are, and they'll be going full force to work out the funding, whatever portion they get from the government.
Mike, what's shaking at the Red, the station? Tell us what's new at 13 Web Sports.
All right, so we're doing a couple of stories today. One will be airing tomorrow on how you guys saw that Rondacoit game winner from high school basketball. Great shot. Made it on SportsCenter. We'll be talking with them. We're building up in the high school ranks as we get a little closer to the Section 5 playoffs. We'll be talking RIT tomorrow. We'll see what the Tigers can get going hockey-wise towards the end of the year. And you can always check out Buffalo Plus. In fact, I just posted something on there today about the five positions of need, some of the things we just talked about. And we'll continue with information on Buffalo Plus, and we'll load that up when we're out at the Combine because we'll be talking to all the players as they prepare for what could happen in the draft. And, yes, we will be looking very closely at wide receivers because there's a lot of them out there. And like I said, at some point early in the draft, the Bills are going to be taking one of those guys, and that could be a big difference maker for them.
Mike, the rare interview where you're not going to take a shot at the Mets.
There's still time.
Nope. Time. Thanks for joining us, Mike.
Because look at it. I mean, obviously they hire a manager, fire him before the season starts. They have a new owner. The guy bails before we even get to the point where he could buy the team.
Everything's fine.
Not sure what's next. Maybe, I don't know. Something happens with their stadium. Who knows? I mean,
you left Jessica out. Jessica's no longer with them either. So,
well, you know what I was thinking is somehow they'll find out that the Mets were behind the whole cheating scandal.
Yes.
And by the way, speaking of that cheating scandal, how many times people say to you, "Well, everybody does it." Okay, how many players have you guys seen come out? I think it was Tanaka today, angry about what the Astros did. And I, you know, it's a little bit of glass house, as you would say. Well, come on, if everybody is cheating like this, I think a lot of players would shut up. I don't know if everybody was cheating to this degree. I don't see anything about other teams outside of the Red Sox. So it's an interesting thing. And the more and more stuff that comes out about the Astros, I'm seriously wondering at what point Manfred's going to turn back around and say, we are going to take that title away from you. Maybe it's just symbolic, but it's almost as if the league is endorsing the fact that, yeah, they cheated, but it wasn't that bad, so we're just going to punish you a little bit. I don't know. A lot of players are really angry about what the Astros did. So,
man, I wish we had more time to get into that conversation, Mike, because that's a deep one. We could certainly go rounds on the MLB cheating scandal. It's good catching up with you, Mike. Really appreciate your time as always.
All right, Gino, good luck to those Mets. They need it.
Thank you very much, Mike.
Mike Catalano. 13 Web Sports Director joining us in the sports bar with Danger and Battaglia. Always good to have him on.
Yeah, did you see that story over the weekend? More info still keeps coming out about this, and you wonder if Major League Baseball just rushed their investigation. Hey, we got a season to get to.
Yes.
Let's not punish anybody. Okay, nothing to see here.
Yes.
The program they came up with was called Codebreaker. And they tried to throw this intern under the bus in the initial investigation. Like, hey, it was this intern who had this idea for Codebreaker. Codebreaker.
Yeah.
Can you at least come up with something a little more covert than that, Codebreaker?
Well, I just love that the intern, it's the intern's fault. And nobody consulted with the intern. The intern wasn't consulted, but let's blame it on him. Okay. We got to get to I'll Drink to That in the sports bar. Plenty to get to here in the 4 o'clock hour as well. We'll discuss a little bit further the implications of daily fantasy being outlawed by New York State once again from late last week. Our sports bar legal expert, Greg Colavecchia of the King Law Firm, will be joining us a little after 4 o'clock as well.
Yeah, coming up in I'll Drink to That. You know, if you find your 15 minutes of fame, like Mark Miller, you know, Mark Miller, Dallas is going down, Gary. There's another guy in Buffalo right now that has overstayed his welcome. And I'm going to just draw an analogy here that if you're a sports fan and something good happens to you, well, then you should just stay down. And an idea that is being reported by Sports Business Journal, the idea that we could have flex scheduling coming to Monday Night Football. I know everybody's nodding their head and saying, yes, yes. I see logistical problems with that. I have a better idea I want to float out
there. Yeah, I have a thought about that as well. I also have a take on Philip Rivers and his career, also a non-sports take that might be my most controversial ever. I'm worried about some of my friendships after I unleash this one. It's coming up in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. I'll drink to that next on ESPN Rochester.
Rochester's most listened to sports station invites you into the locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Our little tribe of super fans, sports junkies, and competitive degenerates. Join now for breaking news updates, free tickets and prizes, game highlights, player and expert interviews, and unprecedented access to the best that ESPN Rochester has to offer. The locker room at ESPNRochester.com. Free to join and packed with action. From AM 950 and 95.7 FM, the sports leader, ESPN Rochester.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.